Hello and welcome. I am Nick Hartman and I'm so excited to welcome you to this very special dropped kickoff podcast. This is going to be one of three little podcasts that we'll put out because we have had the greatest chance, an amazing opportunity to interview three global rugby superstars. These interviews are short and sweet, so we've thought we'd just send out the best man for the job, Nathan Williamson, to interview and get this. Brian O'Driscoll, Nolly Waterman, and Brian Habana. This wouldn't have been possible without the support of HSBC and Green and Gold Rugby. Thank you to both for helping sort out this amazing opportunity. And of course, thank you so much to all our guests who appeared on. This is the third of our three very special podcasts. This podcast is the interview with Brian Habana. I don't want to get in the way of you hearing what he's got to say, so just let Nathan and Brian take it away.
Hello and welcome back to Grand Gold Rugby's a drop kickoff. It's my honour at this time to welcome on a Springboks legend, Brian Habana. Brian, firstly, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, Nathan, really good. Thanks. It's been a great weekend in Hong Kong. Really feels to be back to pre-COVID atmosphere, environment, a really palpable sense of energy back in the city that's been severely affected by COVID and all the regulations. So it's been good to be back.
It's wonderful, isn't it, Hong Kong? Like, it's just that magic place of sevens. I guess to start with, do you have sort of a sort of special story about Hong Kong, whether it's on or off the field, that just sort of sums up what makes it so good?
So I unfortunately never got the privilege to play any sevens tournaments here. I think getting to come to Hong Kong for the very first time in 2019 and experience probably one of the best stops, if not the best stop on the tour, an absolutely legacy entrenched iconic setting that absolute legends of the game have graced, the likes of Jonah Lomu, Christian Cullen back in the day, watching from afar in South Africa was extremely special. The magician of the game of sevens, Wasoli Serebi, was synonymous with how well Fiji did at this epic tournament. So unfortunately, don't have any playing stories, but yeah, my initial, I want to say, debut in Hong Kong back in 2019 with the legends that are Brian O'Driscoll and George Gregan, who were part of the Red Polo gang for a number of years before I came in, and their ease of making the debut, one that had my head hanging for quite a few days on return to South Africa, was pretty special. Drinking or being given a drink from the South Stand at about 4 o'clock on the Saturday afternoon that was fairly warm and with unknown contents was something that I'll never forget. But yeah, pretty special. So might have to do another chug down at some point over the course of the weekend.
I'd be rude not to with the South Stand sort of being redeveloped, right?
Yeah. South Stand, as legendary as they say. I think the queues started at 6 o'clock this morning already, and given what's transpired over the COVID years, last year was not quite the levels. And yesterday evening at about 7:30, the South Stand was absolutely banging. So I can't see it being any different today. We saw a Hulk Hogan lookalike and tearing his T-shirt or tearing his vest off yesterday. Pretty bulky, pretty muscular. But I think today is going to be an absolute showstopper.
And that's what we'd love to hear. And, we've sort of started with the off the field. Let's turn our focus on the field. And I mean, being Australian, it's all about Mark Luber, isn't it? What's the sort of reaction to his first performance and, being able to go on the field like that, win a turnover and just prove that he's still got it?
How good was that? I think as a former player, someone that tried to make the transition and came back in 2016, 12 years on from playing my first tournament, to see Hoops go on and, firstly get the crack. I think the decision to try make any sevens tournament moving over from the 15s is a really brave decision. I think for someone like Hoops that I think in my opinion was probably unfairly treated in Rugby World Cup 2023, a guy who's given not only Australian rugby, but the game of rugby so much and probably deserves to part ways with the 15 format of the game in a much more elegant manner on his own terms. But to see his tenacity, to see his absolutely relentless mental fortitude and put himself in a testing environment that he's never been in any cauldron of sorts and come onto the field with 3 minutes to go and not only have that crucial turnover, but get the win as well in your first game in a sevens environment was pretty special. And, you know, hopefully that now gives him the necessary confidence to kick on. Unfortunately, just lost in that second game, but he'll know that he'll have a lot to learn. And, you know, you sort of see his play, and he's still very much in the 15s format, trying to chase every ball. And as he becomes more comfortable with how the sevens structure happens, that repetitive effort, which we know he's got an incredible engine, but just being a lot more smarter in the game of sevens. But what an absolute start, and really hoping that he cracks on and, you know, makes sure that the dream of going to the Olympics becomes a reality sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I guess for someone like yourself, you know better than most. Having spent so long in 15s where those, as I say, chasing every ball, it's just instinct nature. How long does that take? Is there enough time for him to sort of turn that off and go into the sevens focus? And I guess the second part of that question is, you know, you can see him sort of the lungs burning at the end there. What was that moment when you came back in 2016? You're like, what the hell have I signed myself up to here?
Yeah, 2016, I'd obviously started my career out in 2004 playing sevens, two tournaments in Wellington and Los Angeles. And only though it was 10 minutes in total playing time, I think getting to experience that. And as a youngster, you know, you're sort of learning the ropes where, you know, Hoops has had 12 years as a world-class 15s player and has proven his pedigree across the globe against some of the best players. And I think coming over to the sevens, I want to say it was almost an over-eagerness, you know, in what I saw yesterday. And it's not that he doesn't have that ability. He was just so keen to get involved. And, you know, with sevens, it sort of just takes a little bit of time to understand. And unfortunately, as much as you bust your lungs in the warm-ups and in the training sessions ahead of the tournament, it's actually on the field for those 14 minutes that you really discover how much different it is. And I think, you know, he's got more than enough time. You know, he's got hopefully a couple more games over the course of this weekend. There's, you know, Singapore and Madrid where he'll hopefully be able to put up his hand and, like I said, give himself an absolute best shot of trying to make that final cut. But, you know, once that turnover was won in the first game and seeing the reaction of his teammates was absolutely brilliant. And I think that is something that sevens has, in particular the very tight-knit sisterhood, the very tight-knit brotherhood, where it's every person playing their part, the repetitive effort, getting off the ground, you know, making sure that you're not dropping your teammate, because it is so crucial. So I reckon he's going to go well. You know, if day one of his first knockout was anything to go by.
That's great to hear. And I guess while we're on the sevens, let's chat South Africa. I mean, I think as we're recording the playing right now, they're up 12-0, so good result so far.
It is good. It's been a disappointing sort of run post the victory in the first tournament in Dubai. We haven't qualified for the Olympics yet. So change of guard in coaching. We've seen Philip, you know, Philip Snyman, who's been involved in the setup for a number of years, having played captain, you know, was assistant coach to Sticks, and now is getting the opportunity. And like I say, it's been a topsy-turvy old season, and they need to start building some confidence. So even though we're 12 up, we've never won in Hong Kong, and it would be pretty special if, given what we've experienced over the last 4 months, they can come out there and pull a rabbit out the hat.
Yeah, let's hope they made Australia in the final from our perspectives. I was just going to ask you about that Olympic stuff. It's a weird situation to be for South African rugby. Are you confident there's enough time, you know, you can build that confidence with a couple of events to go before that final qualifying tournament, when I believe in Monaco?
Yeah, so the repêchage in Monaco, the likes of ourselves, Team GB, Spain, Germany, it's going to be absolutely ruthless. You know, you lose a game and you don't qualify for the Olympics. One more shot to go, and you sort of feel this team needs to just find something. There's been a massive amount of change, a lot of established stalwarts that are no longer there. So, you know, you look at Sheikh Sibiswai, you look at Roscoe Speckman, Justin Gedult, you know, the entrenched players that were there and are no longer there. And unfortunately, it hasn't gone quite as smoothly. So, from South African perspective, obviously, I hope that we can go well in Monaco, build a little bit of confidence. I think first importantly is to make sure that we qualify for the top eight going into Madrid. And if you don't qualify for the top eight, you got to play a playoff for the Challenger Series next year, which is not a place you want to be in. So given the fact that they bronzed in 2016, you know, were competitive in getting to a semi-final in 2021 in Tokyo, you really hope that they can now finish the season off strong.
Let's hope so for South African rugby. And whilst, I mean, talking the sevens and their struggles, let's flip the table. Let's talk about some sort of 15 side of things. A back-to-back World Cup champions, like we see the pictures from Australia of, you know, what it means to people. But for someone like yourself, what does that sort of achievement in France in October truly mean for not only South African rugby, but the nation?
I mean, it's absolutely gladiatorial. For me, probably the most difficult route or path to win a World Cup. And even though there was that loss against Ireland in the pool stages, you know, to come up and play the top five teams in the world en route to winning a World Cup, three knockout games in a row by 1 point, a team that probably in 2019 you know, didn't expect to win. And even though the goal was to try to do their best, you know, 2023 was the goal. And to see them 4 years on, a lot more mature. In 2019, they went in very much under the radar and became global superstars, and rightly so. And to follow that up in 2023, to see the likes of a Peter Steyn-Toye making 27 tackles in that World Cup final, you know, the likes of Chesson being sent off, someone like Dion Fury would become the oldest player to get capped as a Springbok to then play 78 minutes in a position he last played 6 years ago at hooker, and be the captain on the field when the final whistle went was absolutely phenomenal. So I think long may they get hero worship for what they've achieved. They've absolutely created history in becoming the first Springbok rugby team to go back to back and do it in a manner in which uplifted the country probably as well as we you know did back in 1995 when I was sitting in that stadium at Ellis Park. And you know, for the likes of you know Siya Kolisi, Chesson Kolbe, you know, household names globally at the moment, to have done something as special as that, as a South African, you know, you couldn't be proud. And you know, long may they be acclaimed and worshipped and given the accolades, rightly so, for something that was pretty historic.
I couldn't agree more, and it really sets up an excellent sort of 2024 test season as well. I mean, I know they're coming down to Australia in August. I mean, while I've got you, I've got to ask, like, that was probably one of the biggest shocks was watching the Wallabies knock out the sort of out in the group stages. I just want to know from your perspective, playing the Wallabies, how much of a shock was that? And is there sort of enough time that by the time the Springboks come in August, it can be a you know, competitive yeah. game and they can recover?
Yeah, you surely hope so. I think, you know, we see now in Super Rugby as well, it's there's a lot of struggles. We see the off-field battles with the Melbourne Rebels and, you know, things that just seem extremely complicated in Australian rugby at the moment. The fact that rugby union in Oz is probably, in some states, maybe your fourth or fifth biggest sport. You know, the battles that they face, South Africa leaving Super Rugby a couple of years ago, I think has been negatively detrimental, you know, to Australian rugby. So you really hope that with a change in guard in Joe Schmidt coming in and, you know, the likes of Mike Cron coming in and hopefully bringing in a bit of stability, which I don't think they had last year, to, you know, change a coach a couple of months before a World Cup. And, you know, as much as Eddie probably came in there thinking you could do good, I think it left an incredibly sour taste in a lot of people's mouth in terms of the way 2023 turned out, you know, to become the first Australian side to not qualify for the knockout tournament, the knockout stages of the World Cup tournament is bitterly disappointing. And you almost feel that if there isn't some form of resurrection this year, you know, ahead of a Lions series in 2025, a World Cup in 27, it could be disastrous. But as any international professional athlete, you want to put your best foot out there. You hope that administratively the you know the background issues and circumstances get sorted out as best possible so that when you do go onto the field, you can just worry about rugby. But yeah, it was a pretty pretty disastrous 2023. And I think if you look at it, I think it can only go up, right?
That's what I'm hoping. And from speaking on behalf of sort of all Australian fans, let's hope so. Listen, Brad, I know you've still got limited time. Just final question for me. I've also just sort of been all coming together from HSBC. They do awesome stuff with rugby. We've heard from Brad, heard from Nolly. Just want your perspective on just how special their relationship is with Sevens and growing the game of rugby to beyond just, you know, what we see it today.
Yeah, so I always sat on the sidelines, you know, seeing the sort of red polo gang. And I was very fortunate to have my first interaction with HSBC back in 2008 when ahead of the Lions series, they did a sort of rugby equipment swap with schools in South Africa. And I was a part of that with Jason Robinson. You know, then got to do some stuff on the Lions tour in 2009 and started getting a concept and realization of the massive amount of work that an incredible brand and organization like this do at grassroots level. And it was a bit of a mystery, you know, for the better part of 8-9 years watching from the side. And then getting to eventually become a part of a very special group of Red Polo Gang ambassadors and see the on-the-ground work that they're doing, you know, in Dubai with the Player Pathway program. You know, myself and Nolly chatted to some young UAE females back in 2019, and they then went on to become UAE national representatives. You know, that team went on to become winners of the Asian Cup and inspire young boys and girls around the world. And it's been incredible for an organization like HSBC, who've plowed so much financially into the game of sevens, has been instrumental, you know, in the game of sevens becoming an Olympic sport. But at all levels, from elite to grassroots, in the male, the female game, they've been absolutely fundamentally imperative, you know, in playing an incredibly positive role in growing the game. You know, sevens is probably one of the most incredibly inclusive environments, you know, in the game of rugby. You know, we've got parity in both the men's and the women's, you know, 8 tournaments, 12 teams, parity in pay, and HSBC have been instrumental in being a part of that journey. And I think for me to then be able to contribute, you know, in a very small way to a continual positive push for all the good and the values that HSBC stand for, and to see how much incredible give back they're giving to the game on so many levels is a massive privilege. And, you know, absolute chapeau tip to them for, you know, knowing that they can play their part at the elite level, but that grassroots is actually where, you know, they're making the biggest impact, and long may that continue.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. So here's one final one. I mean, you're famous for sort of, you think Brian Barney, you think the speed, you think also the cheetah race. Do you still back yourself? And if not, what animal do you reckon you could beat in a race right now?
Yeah, so I've actually got a massive exhibition race coming up in June this year. I've actually thought long and hard about it. I'm coming up against a tortoise. I feel that it's probably my best bet at winning at the moment. I've been absolutely horrible training-wise over the last 6 years in retirement. So, yeah, me and a tortoise. I'm hoping it's not going to be the tortoise and the hare, though. So we'll see how it goes.
I'd pay for that. Chuck it on Stan, chuck it on whatever broadcast. I'd pay man about money for that. It'd be awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Brian. This has been amazing.
Cheers, Nathan. Have a good one. Have a good weekend.
You too.
And that was Brian Habana, a really humble dude, and another great chat with Nathan. And great to see his humility still shining through. This is the third of our 3 very special podcasts, interviews with Brian O'Driscoll, Nolly Waterman, and of course, Brian Habana. If you'd like to listen to the other 2 podcasts, I really encourage you to. They're also great chats about sevens and rugby. Anyway, until we meet again, goodbye.